Republican Representative Steve Castell of Elkhart Lake was first elected to the Assembly in 1998. He's chairman of the Assembly Education Committee, excuse me. He represents the 27th District, and he recently announced he's not going to seek re-election. Representative Castell, thanks for taking the time to talk to Wisconsin Eye. My first question in all these interviews, why?
Well, I think everybody's reasons for making these kind of decisions are individual and personal. And I think over the course of this session, the idea evolved that there might be life after the state assembly. So once you start thinking along those lines, you start to envision it, and you can come out to the other end of that decision feeling comfortable.
It looked to me like this session. Well, first of all, you've been here for 8 sessions. Was this your toughest one, sir?
Well, you know, I think maybe we would say that after each session,
yeah.
It was
the toughest one. Okay.
But they're all different.
Right.
I think that the last 4 years, the last 2 sessions, were challenging each for their own reasons.
Yes.
I think being chair of the Education Committee during those 2 sessions, anybody would probably understand if I said that it was a hard job. It was very challenging. You had to take the role of being a referee in a lot of cases of trying to filter things because there's an awful lot of energy around education. So that was challenging.
Well, let's pursue that a little bit. It seemed to me this last session, you were caught right in the middle of 2 of the most emotional and controversial issues, Common Core Standards and school accountability.
Mm.
Would you agree?
Well, sure. Those are high profile, lots of interest. We take, for example, the school accountability issue. That's something that it wouldn't be fair to say that it started in 2011. That's when we started working on it.
Yes.
But it's an issue that's been around forever.
Yes.
I think people on both sides of the political spectrum agree, for the most part, that we should have accountability, sometimes for different reasons. And that's part of the challenge of coming up with something that people can agree on, is because there are different perspectives. But we really started working on it in earnest when the governor had the idea. Shortly after we finished Act 10, a number of us were meeting and talking about that issue, and it was decided that we would create a design team that was pretty comprehensive, with a pretty good representation from a lot of different points of view. And there were quad chairs, the governor, Superintendent Evers, Senator
yes.
Olson, and myself. And we took the work of that group, and then over the course of a period of time, we tried drafting that into legislation that made
right.
sense. That's what we introduced after the budget was finished last year. And I could tell by the time we were ready to introduce it, people were already trying to distance themselves because it can't help but be controversial. There
yes.
are big decisions that have
you
to be made.
You were also dealing with 6 power brokers, not only lawmakers, the governor's office, DPI, choice and voucher schools, private schools. You had 6 power brokers. So you were in the middle, and you called yourself earlier a referee.
Sure.
A lot of people at that table.
And they were interchangeable. There were different players at different times representing those different points of view.
Yes.
So it was, the goalposts moved
yes.
pretty regularly. Where we were able to get to, though, was, again, using that design team's input to inform our work. We had asked the people who were furthest apart on the issue to spend the summer, last summer, working together. So Department of Public Instruction, voucher folks, you guys get together over the summer and try to work out some of your differences. And then when we came back last session, we started saying, all right, now let's see what you've got. That wasn't readily coming either, because they hadn't really reached agreement on everything. So we had to make some decisions. Mm-hmm. And if you'll notice, the public school folks weren't entirely thrilled with everything that was in the document, but they understood that they weren't going to get everything they wanted. And, right. and we tried getting them to understand, this is as good as it's going to get. You're going to have to accept some part of this on faith, and you're going to have to, we need you to be supportive. And they did that. Okay. Not everybody that had been at the table from all perspectives followed.
With that many agendas, do you think a meaningful accountability bill can pass next session, sir?
Well, I think we should not, we shouldn't short sell what we got done this session.
Okay.
That's been sold as sort of the, you know, as kind of nothing. But I don't think it is nothing, because what we'll have for the first time, an actual apples and apples comparison for all kids that are getting public funding.
Public
you're
schools,
going to be taking the same test.
Choice,
right. And
students.
There was universal disdain for the WKCE test. It was, it had outlived its useful life some time ago. Everybody's glad to see that go.
Yes.
So there's going to be a new test that everybody yeah. takes, and everybody's going to be measured the same way. That's a big step.
Okay.
And I think it was the most important step. To me, the worst thing that we could have done is to ended this session with having done nothing.
Okay. So you're proud of what did get signed into law?
Well, right. And where we were headed, you could, you know, and the reason I sort of revolted is because we had each house headed in a different path.
Yes.
The end result, everybody knows what that is. Nothing happens. And frankly, the changes that were made to the bill very late in the session were done. Here's something that we'd worked on for several years, and we're still struggling to get everybody on board. There's no way you can throw something together in a few weeks
right.
and have a good product. It's just too complicated.
It strikes me the bigger firestorm that you were caught in this session was Common Core.
Yeah.
And I was really intrigued when the task force was formed on Common Core, and both you and Senator Olson were not on it. Were you asked to be on it and said,
sure.
we respectfully not going?
Right, right.
Which must be a statement. You didn't see it as necessary, sir?
Well, the speaker asked if I wanted to participate. And I didn't just dismiss it, you know, without consideration. But my feelings were this. I had spent a lot of time already learning about Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
I had read all the materials that were available. I thought it was more important for other members of the legislature to go through the learning process.
Okay.
And I wanted, my feelings were that that people would come to a good conclusion after they were able to examine all the facts and then bring me the bill rather than me being there influencing it.
Right.
And I didn't want any of those accusations going on that I was somehow, because I had already been identified as somebody that wasn't on the throw the baby out with the bathwater team.
The last time I interviewed you and Senator Olson, you both said you backed the Common Core standards.
Right.
Yeah, and you still do.
Well, here's my thinking on it. Again, it's one of those things where it's probably very hard to come up with the perfect product. And I think most reasonable people would agree there's room for improvement. But we can never get to that part of the conversation where I think we were headed that way with Assembly Bill 617, where we were setting up a review process.
Yep.
And that's something that state school superintendents around the state thought was a good idea for the most part. They were nervous about what it might look like, but they generally agreed yep. that we should have a review process and a way to you know, measure or to have input from around the state.
But then it lurched in another direction.
Sure.
The bill that was considered would, okay, Superintendent Evers would work with a panel to recommend standards, but then the legislature would have the right to throw out that panel standards and come up with its own. Is it the job of lawmakers to draft standards, Mr.
Well,
Chairman?
I think reasonable people agree that that's not a good idea. But not everybody was being reasonable in this discussion. Interesting thing that happened with that bill. There's been a lot said about what people think happened. Mm-hmm. If you look at the timeline of when that draft became available, it became available late on a Tuesday. The Assembly Education Committee was in a hearing all day Wednesday. So most of us didn't have an opportunity to read the bill, which was a substitute amendment to the other bill. So there had been no public hearing on that draft, mm-hmm. which is always a little dicey.
Yes.
Especially if it's going to be very different than what the original bill was. And when we read it at the end of the day, what we found is that the language said something different than what the proponents thought it said.
Okay.
In the following morning, the day we're supposed to be doing an exec, everybody is believing something different about the bill. Nobody could clearly define what it would do.
Okay.
This office filled up with committee members with big question marks in their eyes, and there was just so much uncertainty that it wouldn't have been responsible to ask them to vote on it when nobody could honestly say what the bill would do. I had read the bill. I knew that it wasn't written to do what the proponents thought it was written to do. Okay. There was this narrative that if the superintendent and this board, the newly created board, agreed on the new standards, that would be the end of it.
Right.
That's not the way the bill was written.
Yeah, the bill.
No matter what the case, the bill, it was going
come
to
back
come,
to this
going
building
to come to JCRER
for an up or down.
And there was going to be a bill drafted.
Right.
Right. So, I don't think any states around the country are looking at that as a good idea.
Okay. Do you consider yourself a conservative?
Yeah,
you're 16
thing.
Years in this place.
I've watched how that term has sort of been a moving
morphed
target.
Yes.
I'm not sure people know what a conservative is anymore. In my view of a conservative is someone who really is careful with, first of all, careful with the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've lost some of that. In fact, I think there's been a deliberate change in the way we view facts. And I've always been really kind of really picky about factual information. And I think most of the people I've represented over the years have appreciated that I'm pretty straight. You know, I don't beat around the bush very much, tell it like it is. And I still think most of the folks in Wisconsin appreciate that. But there is this sort of thing getting passed off as conservatism that's loose with the facts. Another thing that I've always viewed as being conservative is that we're careful with other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to spend money that doesn't have to be spent. We don't, no matter what the argument, we want to be careful with that. I see some changes in that regard, depending on whether or not it fits a narrative or what else might be going on. So I think it's a moving target, and I mean, if you look at my votes over the years,
yeah,
pretty conservative.
But I was surprised, and can I get your reaction? I honestly was surprised that resolutions of no confidence for you and Senator Olson passed in two of the congressional caucuses.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that?
It was stunning, frankly. And
did it play a role in your decision to not seek re-election?
Well, the only role it played is it delayed my announcement by a week.
It did.
Because, you know, I people who know me know I have a hard time walking away from a fight.
Yeah.
And so I was going to announce that morning, or Monday morning, rather. And then this sixth district thing happened on the Saturday.
Yes.
So I took an extra week to hash that out in my mind. But, it's one of the things that's changed in politics. We could spend a lot of time talking about the mechanics of what's going on there. But
it appears to me the Republican Party that you've been a leader of is kind of in a debate over what it wants to be in the future, who should lead it, what its message should be. As someone who's leaving office, what advice would you give the party as it sorts out some of these issues?
Well, you know, I think we have to get back to, people like to talk about Ronald Reagan and hold him up in a light that very often doesn't represent who Ronald Reagan really is. The same is true of Abe Lincoln. Can you imagine the party of Lincoln having a discussion about possibly seceding from the Union? I think we have to get back to really have a serious conversation amongst ourselves about what it means to be a Republican. And I think most people who identify as Republicans still identify very closely with the true Ronald Reagan and Abraham Lincoln. But I think we need to talk more about it. Okay. And remind people from time to time that that those principles that we've cherished are still important. One big advice I would give to anybody who's thinking about running for office, no matter the party, is to protect your integrity at all costs. Be who you say you're going to be, and come out the other end with your integrity intact.
You have witnessed a lot of reforms in how we teach our children, with the charter and the choice and the internet schools and open enrollment. Have they generally been good for schools, for our children, compared to when you entered office in 1999?
Well, I think in a lot of cases we don't know yet. Okay. That's still an uncertain answer. I think there's, if you look at the best argument for allowing charter schools or encouraging charter schools, it's not to offer 30 kids in a classroom a different experience. The real reason to do it is to create a laboratory where innovation can happen, and then we should be looking at that when it's successful, mm-hmm. and trying to copy it and multiply it. When it's not successful, we should be honest enough to admit that and move away. I think when we look at things like virtual education, there's no way we could say this is going to be good or this is going to be bad. We had to allow it to develop, and we're still watching that happen. The role of a conservative would be to say, let's hold everybody accountable equally. Let's set standards of expectations. That's what Ronald Reagan proposed, and measure and against outcomes. Mm-hmm. We don't want to get involved in micromanaging, telling people how to do it. Leave that to the people who know how to educate and are trained and are professional in their fields. But we measure how well they get the job done, and then make decisions accordingly. If you're not getting the job done, we're going to go a different direction.
Are you proudest in your role on some of these issues in your 16 years in the Assembly, Mr. Castell?
Well,
the school issues and the education issues?
I am. I think I always tried to look at it with an open mind, and I think I tried to be fair, no matter who was bringing the idea. And I think I was fairly hard on people who deserved to get some hard treatment, and I was helpful to those who had good ideas and needed a little help. So
maybe one final question: the impact of Act 10 on teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still proud of your vote for Act 10?
Well, I would have voted for something similar to Act 10 a decade or two earlier.
You would have.
And I was out there telling people by the early 90s, we're headed for trouble. A decade after that, in the early 2000s, I was saying, we aren't heading towards the cliff, we've already gone off it. Now we're starting to run out of Band-Aids.
Okay.
It was an unsustainable situation. Now, I think had we done something earlier, yeah. it could have been less drastic.
I see.
And less painful. But the environment didn't exist for that to happen, and we wound up with Act 10. What it all boils down to is being able to create an environment where decisions are made to the benefit of students first. And I don't think we had that situation for several decades. And I think we're headed back that way. It's going to take a little relearning, but We'll get there, I think.
Very good. Well, congratulations on 16 years in the Assembly, and good luck, whatever happens next to you. Thank you very much for your time.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.